Welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. And not just Bravo, Netflix too, and really, really anywhere else. We're expanding. Anyway, today, I'm Ben. That's Ronnie. What's up, Ronnie?
Noim.
Well, I should say that today, I'm Ben every day, and you're Ronnie every day. But today, we're talking Great British Bake Off. It's very exciting. Today is Chocolate Week. And before we dive into that, first, let's just give a reminder that we have our new spinoff, a limited series called Dwell Hello, which lives on Stitcher Premium, but you can listen to it now. The first episode we release on our feed, and if you want to listen to the rest of those, you just go to stitcherpremium.com and use the code Crappens to sign up, and you get a month free, and you get to listen, you get access to Dwell Hello, as well as Crappens Without Ads, which is really cool. And Dwell Hello, we are doing 12 weeks of recapping House Hunters. So, I mean, could that be more fun?
Yeah.
I don't think so. So, serious fun. So there's that. And then, of course, we have our Patreon and all that other fun stuff. But Ronnie, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I mean, I'm very influenced by whatever I watch on TV, and I actually watched this episode Friday and went this weekend to a chocolatier to get some chocolata.
Wow.
Some chocolate, because, you know, we've discussed a lot of chocolate on this show because we're talking about baking things and how American chocolate really tastes like dog shit. And I went to get, oh my God, it really is so much better having like nice chocolate. Oh, mm-hmm. I wish I could do that every day.
I know. It makes such a huge difference. This episode of Great British Bake Off, or Great British Baking Show, it reminded me that I want to revive my hopes and dreams of making chocolate babka myself, because I have the cookbook Jerusalem by Yotam Ottolenghi, and I've had that book for like 9 years, or however old it is. It's been years. And he has a recipe for chocolate babka. And it's like these amazing photos of just like rich chocolate and these plats. And it's just, I've Yum. Wanted to make it forever, and I've never made it. And seeing this episode, I'm like, oh yeah, I got to make that this week. I'm definitely making that.
Yum. So good. Well, I wanted chocolate so bad. I went to a little town. My mom had been wanting to take me to this little town by where I live called Marble Falls in Texas, Marble Falls, Texas. And I was cracking up because it was so Texas. I walked into the store, and the first thing I hear is this lady going, well, you know what? You like those crackers, right? She said, yeah, I do. And she said, well, if you like those crackers, here's what you need to do. You march into that HEB, which is our grocery store here, and you tell them, I love these damn crackers, and they'll order them for you. They will get them for you. It's like, yes, Texas. I love the cracker passion and the chocolate store.
Yeah. Secret, like, cracker hacks. I love that.
And I just love this lady telling other ladies, you just march right into that grocery store and you tell them, I love these damn crackers.
It's like a weird mix of entitlement and joy. Like,
yeah.
I have to say something, and I got to say it now because this is my truth, okay? Everyone here in the HEB, I've got to say this. I love those crackers. Now give me some.
I love these damn crackers. Get them for me.
So, but today is not, we're not discussing Cracker Week. We're here to discuss Chocolate Week. And so the episode opens up, thankfully, with a very short skit from Noel and Matt. I'm like, you know, they amuse me, but I don't need the opening skits to go on super long. And this one was basically like, it's chocolate week. And then we just went right into the opening credits. I was like, thank you.
No.
I'm into that.
He said, it's chocolate week. Are you a chocolate man, Noel? And Noel says, no, I'm a normal man. So I had a little joke. He's also in leggings and like a loose fitting shirt with happy faces all over it. Again,
yeah.
I'm like, this is a template for my current life, you know, my middle age. I'm going to be all into loose shirts and leggings from now on.
I support it 100%. So no one is more excited about Chocolate Week than Linda, who's like, Chocolate Week? Yes, it's fun. This is fun. This is fun to have Chocolate Week. I can't wait.
And Laura's like, massive chocoholic, mate. A day without chocolate is a wasted one, if you ask me. It's like, yep, it's pretty much.
It's like I always tell my husband, a day without using the pizza oven is a day that you might as well just die.
So, let's see here. Prue is in a Caribbean pattern today, and like some fucking crazy yellow necklace. Whatever creature she killed for that necklace has some scary yellow teeth that she's just wearing around her neck now, and like cute pink glasses. Mm-hmm. And Noel's like, well, their names are Paul and Prue, so don't say it wrong, Matt. And Matt's like, Paul and Pooh would like you to make chocolate. You know what? I just laugh every time, Ben.
Every single time.
I do.
So they're just very pleasant hosts. So the first challenge is they have to make 18 chocolate brownies. That's it. And they just have to have a fudgy texture. And I think, I'm not sure. I wonder if the show got a little bit of flack last season for making the challenges too difficult. And almost like the challenges were traps, almost to make sure people fail. Because I've noticed that there's this brownie challenge this week. And then last week, they had to make or 2 weeks ago, they had to make pineapple upside down cakes. There's something that it almost seems like they're going a little bit back to basics. And they seem to be really all about declaring that, because they're like, Noel says, well, brownies may be famously simple to make, but you can mess them up. But they are simple to make, simple, basic things. British people, stop yelling at us.
I don't know. I feel like they're a simple. It's like Top Chef when they, you know, they always fuck up a grilled chicken breast. Like, no one can do omelets. It right, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or biscuits. Like, someone always fucking up the biscuits, you know? Mm-hmm. It's things that we think of that are simple, but it's not simple to make an excellent biscuit. It's not. And it's not simple to make an excellent brownie. I've made a lot of brownies in my day. I've eaten, because, you know, I will eat everything I make. Not because I'm wasteful, mostly because I'm starving all the time. Mm-hmm. But I've eaten a ton of terrible brownies that I've made.
Really?
Yeah, I've been like, you have to figure out your oven, like what the temperature is, you know, your chew and your crisp. And
you're also not a recipe person, too. So you're just doing it you're kind of figuring it out.
Well, with that stuff, I'm a recipe person. Oh, yeah, okay. With baking, you have to be. You can't just be like, I'm just going to put whatever in there and hope it works out. With baking, you have to use some measurements.
I feel like if you follow a recipe for a brownie, they will pretty much almost always turn out really well. I've settled on, I have a brownie recipe that is like the one that I use, and that's just my go-to. It's a brown butter brownie recipe, and they're not very tall, but they're dense and gooey, and they have like this amazing, like nutty brown butter flavor to them. They're perfection. And I was sort of hoping to see that recreated in some way on this challenge, but spoiler alert, these are the world's worst brownies that we're about to see.
Yeah, now these kinds of brownies I don't know that I've made a lot of. Like, I don't really try to go crazy with my brownie. Okay, a brownie is a brownie. I want a brownie and then some ice cream on top of it, possibly some nuts. But these brownies were crazy fucking brownies. I don't need a crazy fucking brownie.
So Prue starts talking about brownies. She goes, oh, the perfect chocolate brownie has a gooey center, just like Paul Hollywood, and has a crackly, crisp top, just like me. And that's it. That's it.
And Paul's like, well, the bake on the brownie is the critical thing. If you overbake it, it will become very, very dry. Like, just looks over at Prue. I'm with dry. He's wearing a t-shirt that says, I'm with dry. And Prue's like, yes, well, you can decorate it if they fail. If you want to fail miserably and die young, of course, you can decorate it and be chopped up in a meat grinder and served a Soylent Green. To try it. Go ahead and try it.
Well, all icings are extra sweet, as we all know, and extra chocolate is more sweetness. So I think that the bakers have to try not to over-decorate the top, otherwise it'll be death by sweetness. And I say that this is a British person who basically eats sugar for 3 square meals a day.
And Paul says something that I think I've said on every date I've ever had, which was crazy to hear on TV. He says, if you can't produce a basic brownie, there's going to be problems.
And try not to be an idiot and add icing to it, because it's already very sweet, okay?
Icing roads ahead, as Grandma used to say. So the judges go over and talk to Linda first, and she's like, I'm making Christmas brownies!
That reminds me of when I was a little kid and they used to have nuts and Turkish delight and dates and haddock, and we would put them all into a brownie, our famous fish brownies.
Enjoy it with the punt. Turkish delights. Okay, so I didn't know what, I only know what Turkish delights are from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And I thought they were little chocolates, but I think they're like a little fruit. Okay, now I have to look it
up. I think so. No one cares but me. And then I just was like, I don't want to. I remember looking them up, and I also feel like it's like, it sounds like the most British, like it feels like vaguely problematic British leftover from colonial times. Like, oh, it's a Turkish delight. Look at that. It's like, it has literally nothing to do with Turkey.
Well, it's definitely one of those candies that you're like, are we still allowed to say that?
It's like, yeah.
Right? It's like, it sounds like something your meemaw would say. And you're like, wait a minute, you don't say that anymore now. They're called dried candies or dried fruit. But it's not dried fruit. It's a family of confections based on a gel of starch and sugar.
Oh, you know those Turkish people. They're so starchy and sugary, right? It's not problematic at all. I mean, there's nothing, doesn't seem like there's anything problematic about it because there's... But it feels problematic.
Well, there probably is something. This girl is 2020.
There probably there's is something there. Problematic about it. But
yeah,
it just feels
2020.
Weird.
You just look hard enough, you'll find something to get pissed off about.
So now, old Mark. Old Mark is Mark with a C, correct?
Yes.
I feel like we have to really get this, get our, because you call you
yeah,
differentiate
that's how
with
I do
C's
it.
And K's, and I do it with old and young. So old Mark is with old Mark has the C. Okay. So he's making macadamia nut brownies with butter that looks green. I don't know why. It's some weird lighting there. And he's like, yeah, I've only made brownies for the first time a few years ago. I'm like, sir, leave the tent. How are you this old and you've never made brownies until like a few years ago? Why do you live this way?
I know, and I couldn't believe that he didn't have a story like, well, I make brownies with my daughters. And then they could show like a little clip of the daughter just like getting to touch the brownie and him saying, all right, now back away from the brownie.
It's like Mark is really tired from sleepless nights of perfecting his brownie recipe. He's like, I haven't gotten a lot of sleep. I've just been thinking about brownies. Brownies every single night, and how my daughter does all the work on those brownies. Look, she touched the bowl.
And Noel's like, well, I'm tired. I woke up last night as well. I was sleepwalking and just driving around. I fucking love that guy. He's as a vampire, that's what you're meant to do. He's like, well, I call it sleepwalking. Other people call it taking people into the bushes and sucking their blood up. People do like to split hairs, don't they?
So then we see Peter, who's talking about ratios. Were you like me? Were you expecting Peter to say something like, well, I'm making this brownie gluten-free for my brother Andrew, because Andrew can't have bread, he's gluten-free, so I'm making gluten-free.
I think he realized if he pulls too much gluten shit, like gluten-free shit out, he's out of there. You know?
Yeah.
He would have just been like his brother in a pizza parlor. Not welcome. Okay, get out.
There's a lot of gluten-free pizza these days.
I know, actually. Yeah. And I actually think it's a lie to trick non-gluten eaters. It's like some weird chef thing where they're like, haha, see, they're not really gluten-free. I just served them gluten. Because I don't believe that crust has come this far. I mean, it's delicious now. They do a really good job, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I don't believe it.
Well, I'm for full gluten pizza crust. That's my life.
I'm a huge believer in gluten. I believe in either eating gluten or just starving yourself until you're thin. That's it. There's no in between.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're like the gluten version of Danielle Staub. People either want gluten or gluten free. There is no in between.
Yeah.
That's a stretch. It was a callback to her old tagline. People either love me or they hate me. There is no in between. Pay attention.
Pay attention, please. So Peter's, he's like, I believe it's all about the ratios. So how much fat you've got? And did you? Oh, you don't watch this with the captions on, do you? I do, because
I was going to, and I didn't last night.
I turn on the captions for this show, and they actually wrote out the word "erm," which I knew you would love.
Mm. You know, when you watch the captions on Love Island UK, they actually write out in it. They write it INIT or INNIT. It's great.
So then Linda's like, "If you add too much flour, you'll get a cake, which would still be fun."
She's just like, I'm just imagining you're like the Swedish chef at this point. So
like, she's my hero.
And then Dave, of course Dave has a calculator. He's got a purple calculator. And Matt is doing like this bit about, you know, he has a calculator because he can't have a phone in the tent. And so Matt starts doing a bit about like, well, you know, if you had a phone, you'd probably call your mom and say, "Hey, mom, can you come pick me up? I don't like it here. They make me bake all day. And then when I bake all day, a horrible man with a beard comes along and says it isn't good." And Dave is just staring at him like, "That is exactly what I would do, actually. Yes."
"Please get away from me with humor, you disgusting trash." Doesn't he always look at them like that when they come by to check
always.
On them? He's like, "You're not a judge. Get out."
"Unless you've come over here to ask me about my recent trip to Mexico, I have no time for you."
Now, I really want to love Peter. I think he's so cute. I think he has so much promise. I think he probably has so many stem cells that I could possibly use in my upper chin area. But he makes it hard sometimes. They're like, "Hoping for a slightly healthier brownie." Is Peter, fuck off with your healthy brownie, okay, Weight Watchers? Get out.
I agree. And on top of that, this wasn't even healthier at all. It was just more disgusting. So he is making fig and pistachio upside down brownies. And he's putting basically like a layer of figs on the bottom. So that way when he turns it out, there'll be figs on top. And then he's weaving in cinnamon into the batter. I'm like, this isn't healthier. It just has figs in it. And then this doesn't look good at all. This looks terrible. What are you doing to the brownie? Why are you doing this, Peter?
Yeah, I don't want figs with my brownies. Figs make you poop. That much I do know. And poop is
shameful.
I
like figs. I like figs. I like brownies. I don't eat them together.
Okay, so Paul's like, "Well, untraditional." I was like, "Whoa, pulling out the big gun." He sounded so hateful.
I know.
He's like, really did. "Untraditional."
He always does, though, to be fair.
Yeah. And Prue's like, "Certainly unusual." Paul just jumps on top. He's like, "It's risky." So it's going to have caramelized fig, chopped pistachio, and whipped dollop of whatever on top. And
shit. Whipped dollop of shit on top. Might as well be.
So Noel comes to check on him, and he's like, "What did Paul say when you said you were using figs? Did he go, ooh? Or did he just stare through you with his cool blue eyes?" Which was it?
"I don't know. I was too busy thinking about my brother Andrew and how he can't eat gluten."
I know. Poor Andrew. I just imagine Andrew at home, like in the fetal position, rocking back and forth. Like, these brothers have never spent 5 minutes apart, they seem like.
I know. It's like, maybe Andrew's part of the bubble. He's just there in the bubble, just waiting for Peter to come home.
"Did
bubble.
You dedicate your dessert today to me, brother?" "Of course, brother."
"You know that I just graduated. Did you dedicate your brownie to my graduation?" I forgot. Oh, convenient. Well, we'll see if you get any granola bars tonight."
"I better see a pie sign stenciled onto something before the end of this competition, or you're going to pay, brother."
"Well, I was going to reserve the pie sign for pie day. You know, a pie on a pie. I don't want to wait."
All right. So then Sora is like, "My husband likes brownies, but it's not my husband judging, is it? He'll eat anything." It's like, yeah, you can't really judge a husband's taste buds in a cooking competition.
No, you can't. So Sora's making double chocolate and marshmallow brownies, which sounds amazing at first. And then she says she's using ruby and dark chocolate. So ruby chocolate, I don't think I've ever heard of ruby chocolate until this season. Maybe I had, but my awareness of it really kicked in this season because people used ruby chocolate, I think, the first week. And all I know about it is that it's like a tart chocolate, which sounds a little weird. And so when she said she was mixing ruby and dark chocolate, I was like, I don't feel like I trust this, because if ruby and dark chocolate were a thing, it would have already been like everywhere, I feel like.
It's like one of those candies in the seas candies, you know, on Valentine's, how you can only eat the caramel ones. Well, I only eat the caramel ones or the coconut ones, mm-hmm. or one with a nut. Let's face it, I eat them all. But in order, I never eat like the red chocolate first, you know? There's always one with that red fucking filling in there. And I think that's this. It's a variety of chocolate introduced in 2017. 2017!
Oh, no. Excuse you.
I'm so embarrassed.
Ruby Chocolate, why are you even here? You're
so new.
Yeah,
what are you
even
doing here? Oh my God, trendy chocolate.
Who invented Ruby Chocolate? Who did this? God. Who's trying to make Ruby Chocolate a thing? Okay, go on. What else
is Ruby
is
like the TikTok of chocolates. Okay, I can't with you. So it was invented by Barry Callebaut, a Belgian-Swiss cocoa company. The variety had been in development since 2004, so we had been trying. Unfortunately, we just couldn't get anybody to not barf disgustingly. And in 2015, the product was patented by Dumas et al., credited as inventors, and Barry Callebaut as an assignee under patent number US 9107430. 2015.
See, everyone's trying to have a Ruby Chocolate breakthrough because it's so new. So no one really knows how to use it. It's basically like the old silent films from like 1906. You know, like there was that famous The Great Train Robbery where the cowboy aims his gun at the audience and people fainted because they thought they were actually gonna get shot. This is where we're at with Ruby Chocolate. It's still too early and people are fainting. So like, let's hold off on the Ruby Chocolate and let's stick with what we know, which
well,
is dark milk and white.
Well, you hate it because you are sensing correctly what it tastes like. I finally found it. It's comparable to that of berries.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so
it's
that's
stupid.
Why you don't like
it's
it.
A stupid thing. It's a stupid thing to have in our world. Commercials. Here comes one
right now. What if there was a place you could discover all of the world's best independent ethical brands? A platform which takes the effort out of finding sustainably produced fashion, jewelry, accessories, homeware, beauty, and gifts without compromising on quality, design, or price. Meet Wolf and Badger. Wolf & Badger delivers limited edition collections from artisans around the globe, items produced in small quantities and made to last, right to your door or to try on in stores in London and New York. Rather than framing products around trends, Wolf & Badger places emphasis on the creators and the stories behind their unique products. Their sustainability guarantees mean that not only will you be one of a handful of people to own each piece, but you'll be shaping the future world that you want to live in. Beyond 5-star reviews, they've been featured in the New York Times, Harper's Bazaar, Vogue, and in Drapers, which just named them the Sustainable Retailer of the Year in 2020. Support small business and find a new way to shop. Visit wolfandbadger.com today and save 10% off your first order. Just use code STITCHER at checkout. That's STITCHER at checkout. Discover unforgettable gifts and find your new favorite designers, all at Wolf and Badger.
Big news, Peacock, the streaming service from NBC Universal, is home to your favorite reality shows.
You just go to peacocktv.com for free full seasons of Chris Lee Knows Best, Below Deck, Southern Charm, American Ninja Warrior. Whoa!
I mean, come on, people. We are a podcast that specializes in Bravo. So if you want to watch your Real Housewives, your Vanderpump Rules, your Top Chef. I mean, I don't even know what else I have to tell you, okay?
Okay? You can watch all these shows from the very beginning, which is very different because they haven't always been available. So it's really great to have this now. And they have hundreds of hit movies, thousands of episodes of your favorite shows, current shows, timeless classics, timely updates included. Okay!
All right, you know what? Watch for free or upgrade for more on your TV, tablet, or phone, okay?
Go to peacocktv.com to download and start streaming now. Whoa! So, speaking of raspberries, I mean, I agree, I'm with you. So, speaking of raspberries, Lottie is going to have to run the oven gauntlet twice. Because she's making have your cake and eat it brownies. The angry, angry eyeliner. She's making baked raspberry cheesecake on top and chocolate pecan brownies on bottom.
So I'm not opposed to cheesecake toppings on brownies. I think I've had those before. And
opposed to cheesecake topping on anything. Put them on fucking french fries for all I care. It's cheesecake.
Yeah, it works. I think maybe it was at, I don't remember where it was, but I've definitely had something like that. But, you know, it's too busy. It's too busy doing a pecan brownie with a raspberry cheesecake. Too busy, and you don't have enough time. Cheesecake's got to set and all that. Like, just, like, think about these things, Lottie. Think about it. Just do a chocolate brownie with pecans in it and make it real nice.
Well, everybody's going really crazy with their brownies.
They're nuts. They're out of control. Yeah. It's, like, it's infuriating.
And not to leave raspberry out, because I know we need some more raspberry. Hermine is making raspberry white chocolate pistachio brownies. Mm-hmm. And she tells the judges that she's going to flip the pan to cook each side. And Paul's like, what do you mean flip the pan? She's like, well, you know, turn it around the tray. And he's like, but if you do that, you drop the temperature of the oven. Stupid. Like, they open their doors all the time. Leave her alone, Paul.
I know. And she's like, but isn't that a good thing with the brownie? And he goes, is it? Why don't you talk to Dry McDryface over here and see what she says? Prue,
talk
why are you putting
twig,
icing on your hand?
Talk to the twig and a tooth necklace next to me and see what she says.
So now they're all working on their toppings. And again, we're getting a warning. I think it's from Noel this time, who's like, well, the bakers are adding their toppings, but they can't be too sweet, otherwise they risk having a ridiculously overly sweet brownie. And then it just cuts to Dave making a honeycomb topping. Is that like sweetness incarnate? It's literally honeycomb. Sounds delicious, but it's honeycomb.
And Linda is putting her little Turkish delight cubes on hers, and Mark has whipped some meringue, and he's like, it's Donald Trump's hair. That's how you know it's done.
What do you got, Donald Trump's hair on your mixer? And then Laura's like, well, s'mores is quite an American term, but it basically means melted marshmallow, and I'm going to do a fancy version with a tiny meringue. Laura, s'mores does not mean melted marshmallow. S'mores means this is so good, I want some more, okay? And a fancy version with Italian meringue, no, marshmallow. Meringues and marshmallow.
Yeah.
They're related, but marshmallow is marshmallow. Don't try to, like, make the s'mores fancy by changing out the marshmallow part.
Yeah, I don't need a fancy s'more. S'mores are not fancy.
Yeah.
Like, you don't eat a fancy hot dog. You just eat a fucking hot dog. Yeah, if you're gonna have what it is.
Yeah, a fancy s'more is when you use, like, maybe a nicer chocolate, or maybe a bigger marshmallow, or like maybe a nicer graham cracker, if that's possible. But you don't have to. There's no need to do a meringue. That's like ridiculous.
And Lottie's having trouble with her cheesecake, so she starts praying to the brownie gods. And I was like, "What? I'm busy watching your show. You can't like call me while I'm watching your show, okay?"
Wow, I love that you just elevated yourself to brownie god. So I would have thought you'd be like brownie priest or brown, you know, like brownie high priest, but you actually put yourself right at the top there.
Why would you be a priest when you could be a god?
It's like Jonathan Chabon. What's his name? What's his stupid thing? Food god?
Ugh, I can't. Whatever. I'm can't. Sure. Yeah. No.
So the chefs are, so yeah, everyone's like really nervous about like the middles and everything being, you know, gooey, and Linda's like, I just want a stodgy middle. Well, have you seen Paul Hollywood lately? You just got prude.
You've just been prude. So everyone's checking their oven and freaking out that they're not going to make it in time. And
Suras is basically just like wetness. It's just like a big puddle of batter. Did she turn on her oven? Like, what was going on with her?
I think she put too much batter in, and so it took longer to look longer. Well, she actually says, she's like, well, when you put too much batter in there, it takes longer to cook. It's like, oh, makes total sense. So Linda is perfect and happy with her bake because she's my girl. And
well,
Laura
says she's perfect.
Yeah.
I have to say, when she cut into hers, it looked really good, but I did notice there were like a lot of like holes, like spongy holes. And I was like, is the brownie supposed to have that many spongy holes to it?
Well, here's all I have to say about that. You better back the fuck away from Linda, Ben. She's perfect.
I'm just saying, listen, I love Linda too, but I want to say she you could even see she was a little spongy.
Whatever. We'll talk about you over a punt. So then,
you know that, by the way, she said pint, not punt, right?
She pronounces it punt, and I didn't know what it meant. I was like looking online to see what pump was, because I thought it was like, well, you know, Linda enjoys a pump with her husband in the shed. And I was like, what is that? Like, I thought it was some dirty, cheeky thing. So I was looking it up. And then I had to turn on closed captioning to realize she was.
Okay. I was like afraid. I was like, I was like, because it's been about 2 weeks. And I was like, I don't want to correct him because I don't want to be a dick. But I was like, but Ronnie keeps saying punt. And I was like, I feel like people are listening and being like, it's not punt, it's pint. So, but now you keep saying punt, but now we've addressed it.
No,
and
it just made me laugh because I thought it was something like sexual or weird or gross, you know? And so it took me forever to like look it up. And I looked at so many different uses of the word punt.
Well, because punt sounds like two.
I closed captioning and realized they were saying pint.
Well, punt sounds like the combination of two, you know, derogatory terms for a vagina. So it's reasonable that you would think that.
Yeah, that's why I was like, what is this? Is like a second, like a, maybe a British sexual thing I haven't heard of. I was fascinated. I'm just an idiot. That's why I keep saying punt.
Linda's like, I'm going to go rub my cussy, which, as we all know, is a cushion. That's a little bit of a wussy. It's a cushion for my cat.
All right. So Lottie's like, let's see how raw. And Noel's like, well, do you have time to freeze it? She's like, well, now I have wet freezer juice all over it.
Yeah. And they have like a whole bit about like how hers is freezer juice. I also like to think that when she says, like, let's see how raw mine is, she's talking emotionally. Because, you know, she probably makes some very emotionally raw brownies.
Yeah.
Like the brownies, like, you don't know what I've been through in that oven. Okay. Yeah.
Lottie is totally the type of girl who's made breakup brownies before. Like, hey, Lottie, I ate your brownies. I don't want to accuse you of anything, but my stomach really hurts. That's the point.
They're emotionally raw.
They're breakup brownies. You should feel like chopped meat inside. Raw.
So there's 5 minutes left and Sarah pulls her brownies out of the oven, which is not a good sign if they have to cool down. And then there's some piping meringue and Mark with a C. His are a mess. Maybe because he doesn't have the help of his daughter. And Linda's look great. They do look great. Laura's don't look so great. She cuts into them and they're just like,
yeah. So it's time for some judging, and they start with Peter, his upside down figgy fig. Oh, and Paul's so like, well, they look quite attractive on top, kind of like me. And Prue's like, lovely, the chewiness from the dates. Oh,
too much cinnamon. Too much cinnamon. It's actually overtaken the chocolate. It's almost like cinnamon came into the tent and said, I'm the new judge now. I'm cinnamon and chocolate, you go home.
And he goes, well, it's different. It's risky. It's okay. And they're like, ow, oh, jeez.
It's the new tagline for Nuprin. They're like, remember what we used to be? Little yellow, different, better. Let's go with different, risky, okay.
So Peter's all upset. And then we go to Laura's salted caramel brownie s'mores. And Prue's like, well, too much Italian meringue.
Yeah. It looks like they did come out of the oven a bit too early. You know, sometimes when she's like giving her assessment, she gets real rigid and then she punctuates all her syllables by sort of doing like a little shake of her, like her whole body does like a little shake, like a twig. She's like, too early. And Paul's like, it does look a mess. I mean, it's too sweet, far too sweet, and it's underbaked, you know. And Prue's like, yes, it's underbaked, so you have a few problems here, just a few.
And then Sura's double chocolate brownie, and she hasn't been able to take hers out of the tray because she dropped one tray in the oven, and she hasn't had time to take these out. And Prue's like, oh, we have to get them out of the tray, right?
You're dead. You're dead to me. You're dead to television. You're dead to the world.
Very tough. Very, very tough. Very tough. I don't like the flavors either. I'm getting citrus from the ruby chocolate.
Well, that's what you're supposed to get. Ruby chocolate.
And Prue's... I just love when Prue just like... when she always leaves like one last little comment that's devastating.
Yes.
The bake's not right, and obviously you haven't got enough, so... Toodles.
See you later.
So then Mark's give me some more. S'mores are making a huge mark today. And Paul's like, well, they look neat. And there's a cookie base on there, and Prue likes it, but she's going to avoid the top because it just looks oversweet. Excuse you. You're not even going to taste it? You don't get to judge a baking show and not taste something because it looks too sweet. It's a fucking baking show.
Well, it's like going to a gay bar. Sometimes you just see an aggressive top walking around. You're like, this guy looks like he's just going to be a dick. Let's just avoid the top. Yeah, now they go to Hermine, and Paul's like, well, they're a little bit messy, Miss Trey Turner. How'd that work out for you?
And then Linda's Christmas past. He's like, well, it's very sponge-like. See, chocolate sponge. Like the flavor, but not the rest of it. Loser!
Am I detecting mushy peas in there and... mackerel? Linda, what did you put in these brownies?
I know, Linda's like, it's delicious chocolate and bark from a tree. I'm like, wait a minute, Linda.
So now to Dave, and his are overbaked, and Paul's like, it's more like a sponge than a brownie. When it lacks the two things that make a good brownie, a gooey middle and a crackly top, it's quite honestly the worst thing I've ever tasted in my life. Good luck to you. Good luck.
Gooey middle and crackly top. My future relationship. So Mark with the C's made praline, and Paul's like, they don't look good at all. I was like, wow, are you just out of like creative shitty things to say or what?
It's quite dry. Well, the flavors are okay, but it does look a mess. I mean, that's a problem for me because brownies are one of the most basic things to make. And if you can't get that right, I mean, I don't even have to finish that sentence, but I hope everyone in this tent heard it.
So Lottie and Prue's like, oh, they don't look good. And Paul's like, yeah, they look like a mess. Do you have a straw I could use? Jesus.
Texture's all wrong. Look of it's terrible. I'm also getting a strong sense of beleaguerment. Are these emotionally raw brownies? You better believe it, Paul.
Have these brownies broken up with you recently? Yes or no? You continue to stab them.
Did these brownies just have a very difficult day at work? They seem a little emotionally raw.
Yeah. Do these brownies need to work next to a twig with crazy tiger teeth around their neck? Then I don't want to hear it. So they basically all failed the brownie challenge.
They all did.
They're all super depressed crazy. Now.
Yeah. I did, by the way, I didn't mention this, but I think, who was it that, I forget who she went to. I think it was to Dave. I love Prue, like, a Prue's version of, like, a massive diss is that she says, well, what you've basically made is a very good tray bake. It's like, but damn, Prue. That's like her version of just being like, get out of my sight.
Yeah, that's her. You have a tiny penis and you're useless.
Like, nice tray bake.
Okay, so the technical challenge today is set by Paul. Paul, any words of advice? And he's like, well, I would advise rainbow bagels to not call themselves homosexual bagels because it makes them 10 times less appetizing. Thank you.
The brownie challenge was easy. This isn't. Concentrate on your textures. So then...
Noel's like, well, this is a blind challenge. So we'll ask the judges to leave and then have their eyes removed.
So they now are going to make chocolate babka, which is a traditional Jewish loaf cake that has to have chocolate and nuts. It's going to be... It basically gets rolled, split, and twisted. So then we cut to Dave, and he's like, oh, I never heard of one. If brownies were simplest, I have no shot at this. Now, let me ask myself this. Did I see a babka when I was in Mexico?
Yeah, exactly.
No.
That's what I wrote, too. Do they have this in Mexico? Yes or no?
So is this basically like a Jewish chocolate burrito?
Waiting for babkas. No, it just doesn't ring right.
So Linda's like, oh, I wish I knew what it looked like, babka. I don't know. Does it
Does it look like a Christmas ham by any chance?
Mackerel. Am I hot or cold?
Okay, so I take 3 mackerel and I braid them together, right? And drizzle them with chocolate. Delicious.
So the pee-pee talk, Paul and Prue talk. And she's like, Paul, why have you chosen babka? And he's like, well, you roll it into a rectangle, cook it in half, and it's a case of spiraling twists. You make it too long, it won't fit in the tin. Goddamn idiots, can't wait to see them fail all over the floor.
Crisp on the outside, soft on the inside. And so Prue takes a bite and goes, oh, it's lovely. It's much lighter than I thought it would be. I've had it in New York and it wasn't nearly as nice as these stupid Americans. Americans are trash. There, I set it.
It's not an easy challenge. Not easy. Typical of poor Hollywood.
Wish I could say the same for you. Salute.
So, Paul, tell me about your tray bake, a burn.
So the instructions, of course, suck. So they have to kind of know what they're doing. Yeah. And so they start making the dough. And Linda knows how to do this dough, supposedly. Yeah. I think she does well in this challenge. But she knows how to do it. And it's an enriched dough. Lottie's like, this dough is now too wet.
This reminds me of the time I broke up with my boyfriend in the middle of a rainstorm when I got out of the lorry and I walked down the side of the street to a petrol station and I said, someone come drive me home. I'm emotionally raw right now, like this wet dough I'm making, this enriched wet dough.
And then Noel goes up to Mark with a K and he's like, oh, such a liberal free spreading of the chocolate. How free are you? How free are any of us, really? What's the most free thing you've ever done? Have you been naked in a public space? Would you like to try that right now?
No, I haven't been naked in a public space, but I have been naked at my tiny desk at home.
So cutting into log, twisting it. Oh, they're just making the bread. I'm literally writing down every single thing again.
Yeah. So they have to roll the dough into a tight shape, and Lottie's like, ugh. This is ridiculous. That can't be right. This looks ridiculous. I mean, carefully lowered into the tin. Are the absolute jokers lowering the dough into a tin? This is ridiculous right now.
So Sarah is proving hers, and poor thing is not having the best day. And they're making jokes. And
well, staring. But also, by the way, Sarah, before this, Sarah's, her, like, rope that she made, the rollout, it was so long. It was like the length of her bench. Like, they're like, no, that was what Paul said. Like, well, they can't make it too long. So you're thinking it's going to be like a few inches past the tin. Hers is like 3 tins long. She's like, yeah. This is a bit long, isn't it? It's like, you think, Sarah?
So, waiting around for the prove. And Hermine is like, to rise or not to rise? That is the question. And then they're like, oh my God, Shakespeare! And then they just sit around. It looks like kind of a middle-aged British version of the Breakfast Club.
Don't you forget about me. But if you do, that's okay. That's all right.
Don't you dare forget about me, motherfucker.
Lottie is definitely Ally Sheedy in this one.
Yeah, for sure. She's totally got the Ally Sheedy eyeliner.
Yeah, and then I feel like Dave is Emilio Estevez, for sure. And who's Judd Nelson?
Judd Nelson. I don't think there is a Judd Nelson, right?
I think Judd Nelson just is like Linda by default somehow.
Like Linda.
She's having a good time. Speaking of Linda, so she's looking at her proving dough, and she's like, well, it's not quite as big as I thought. And so Matt goes, well, maybe if you stroke it, it'd get a little bit bigger. She goes, generally works.
And Dave hasn't doubled, but he's going to, you know, try and pass it off. And Lottie's like, well, it's not doubled, but that's my shape, and that's the end of it. And if you ask me about my shape again, you can get the fuck out of here. Where are you going? You've broken my heart.
Let me tell you something. Have you ever had your heart broken by a babka? I have. I was in a 3-year relationship with this piece of dough.
If you go now, don't come babka. I'm telling you right now. So they're more waiting because now the cooking starts, the baking begins. And Lottie's like, come on, ends a trouble.
Well, because she, because hers was too long. So instead of just like slicing it off or whatever, which also would not have been great, she basically like put the babka into the tin. And since she had extra, she sort of like looped it back, like did a hairpin turn. So it's too big. So it's just like hanging over the edge of her tin, which I feel like as a baker, you should probably know that that's never right. If you're, whatever you're baking is like hanging over the tin before it even goes in the oven. I don't think we've ever seen that be appropriate.
Yeah. It's like me. It's like me laying on like a tiny couch. Like, like, I don't really fit, but I will lay on it anyway. Cause it's a couch. Why the fuck wouldn't I? So then,
but that being said, it still looks good.
Well, I mean, yeah. Any,
hers
any
looks good. I'm not saying you look on a tiny couch looks good. I'm just saying that hers.
I mean,
hers
that, looks too. Good. That too.
You'd be adorable.
Yeah. It's hot. Still hot. You know?
Yeah.
So 5 minutes left. Hermine is dancing around, and Peter's is beautiful, and so is Mark with the K's. Linda's looks pretty nice to me. Now, here's where they lose me, the syrup glazing.
Mm-hmm. What's wrong with it?
I don't know. I just don't know that I need that, you know? I'm like, it's like, stop putting a layer between me and that bread.
I'm okay with, like, a little shine on the babka. I think it's nice. I'm okay with it, actually.
5 minutes left. 5 minutes left. And Lottie's looks like a Viking longboat again.
Yes.
Because it sank in the middle. So she just keeps making that fucking Viking longboat.
Exactly. And then they put all their babkas up for judging. And so now the judges come out. And Peter's is small, but you can see the lines. And there's a good swirl. And it's very tender despite not rising as much. And then Lottie's like, well, there's a few issues. It's sunken middles. Not the best I've seen. And
yeah, Paul's like, why is there a brick in the middle of this? She's like, I broke up with it. How many times do I fucking tell you? It got what it deserved.
Why does this babka smell like Morrissey? It's very emotionally raw. That's why.
So then Linda Prue's like, ooh, it's the model babka.
You've made the perfect babka.
Now that is a model I could get behind. The model babka. Have you guys seen that babka in the red dress? I mean, that shit was amazing.
That babka just came down the staircase to the sound of "Kiss Me Down by the Nene." Like that babka.
Guys, that model babka totally has a drug problem, and I support it because she looks amazing. Whatever she's doing, keep it up.
That model babka just finally mastered the lift during "I've Had the Time of My Life."
That drug addict time of my life babka is really twisted, you guys.
Nobody puts babka in the corner.
Jennifer Grey just keeps showing up. So Prue's like, well, excellent all around. Linda, they love Linda. And, you know, so I love them again.
Yeah.
And it looked amazing. Sura had some big issue with the plating. Or the plating. Yeah. What do you call it? Plating.
I think it's like somewhere right in the middle. It's like plating. It's spelled like plating, but I think you say plating. It's like,
no,
it's
spelled like plating.
Right. Meaning that, like I would think if I saw that, I would say it's plating because it's AI, but it's like platting.
All platting. Right, so Laura, they're like heavy. So then Laura, Priya's like, well, it looks like a babka. Amazing how much chocolate you can get in one model. Am I right?
And then Dave's has big gaps, and Prue goes, doesn't look so attractive, does it? And why is this babka wearing a sombrero?
Well, at least it's hard, which is more than I can say for Paul. On to Mark with a C.
Dry.
Hermine.
Well, this plat isn't right. It's heavy, it's underproved. It tastes good, though.
Mark with a K.
Very few plats, but the height is there. Tastes delicious.
So the rankings from worst to best are Lottie, meh, meh, Dave, meh, meh, ha, ha, Sura, oh, love you. Mark with a K, don't really care about you. You need a new office chair. Hermine, love it, right in the middle. Pete, stop with the gluten-free. Mark with the K. Oh, no, Mark with the K is a... No, this must be the other Mark.
I don't remember which
one's which. Uh-oh. I wrote down two Mark with the Ks. Now I don't know who needs a new office chair.
I wrote down Mark with a C as being back, but I think I got my marks all mixed up. I think young Mark was in third place. Laura was in second place, and Linda was number one. And Linda's like, "Oh, I know. I'm shocked myself. I'm so shocked. I almost put a mackerel in that bobcat. I'm so glad I didn't.
I followed my instincts, and there you go. Well, one time I followed my instincts, and I ended up naked in my bra in a parking lot of a Thrifties. Worked out today."
And Sora goes, "Well, that was horrific, and that was two challenges failed. So." I'm going to blame my husband. I don't know why or how, but it is his fault.
So the final challenge is the showstopper, and it's my least favorite thing in the world, white chocolate.
White chocolate.
Go to hell, white chocolate. Go to hell.
Well, second to worst, because I feel like ruby chocolate's probably the worst, but white chocolate, seriously.
Ruby chocolate I'm still ignoring because it's like 2017, and I can't with that. I'm not even going to put it in the judging. But white chocolate is hideous, and they've been trying to pass off white chocolate for years now. Like, are there crops of white chocolate that we just have to sell? Like, why are you trying to put just crap on me?
Yeah, I mean, white chocolate, it. I've had a few good things with white chocolate. I once had a white chocolate mousse that was delicious, and I've had cookies that have had white chocolate chips in them. Like the white chocolate has a time and a place, but its time and its place is not a Star Baker challenge, like a whole cake of white chocolate. That's wrong.
Yeah. And one time my mom was like, "Why don't you like white chocolate? It's the same thing. It just doesn't have cocoa." I was like, that's a problem. Like, that's what chocolate is.
You know who has a good read on this? Laura, who in a little bit, jumping ahead slightly, she says that she thinks it's just very sweet and very one note. And you know what, Laura? You're right. Laura gets it right. Laura gets it.
Yeah, she gets it. So let's see. Where am I here?
So they have to make the white chocolate.
I was looking up white chocolate on the internet. Sorry. That's why I got a little lost.
So white chocolate. So they're telling us that white chocolate has a higher fat content than normal chocolate. So the fat content in the sponge has to be adjusted. Otherwise, it could just like fall apart. And Prue is like, "Oh, it's a really tricky challenge because white chocolate is a nightmare to work with. It splits at the drop of a hat. It seizes. And I think the bakers will have their work cut out for them. I mean, they could barely even make brownies, the stupid idiots."
And it's also really warm outside. So they're going to have to be very, very careful, guy, because they have to make celebration cakes, which means a lot of decorating and a lot of chances for chocolate to melt all over the place.
So Laura is going to be making a heaven cake with blackcurrant jam and white chocolate bouquet. And she's celebrating her 2-year anniversary yesterday with her husband. And Matt is like, "Well, what did you do?" She's like, "Well, I was here, not at home making pizza," which is what I'd rather do, to be honest. I wanted to make a big white chocolate pizza.
Yes, I'm making an anniversary cake for my 2-year anniversary with my pizza oven that came with the chubby guy attached to it. Right, mate?
My cake is in the shape of a pizza, so if it doesn't rise, that actually works out pretty well for me.
And Matt's like, "Well, congratulations on your anniversary being told off by a grumpy old man." She's like, "I know, right? Felt great, thanks."
So Lottie is making a cake for her grandparents, and she's going to be having a sapphire geode effect just to really drive home how emotionally raw she is. It'll be her broken heart. Have you ever seen a cake have a heart and that heart break when you look at it? That's what this cake will do.
And she's practiced this between 15 to 18 times, and Prue goes, "Oh, Lottie!"
she's shocked. And then she goes, "Well, Lottie, let me say something to you that I'm sure your mother said to you many times during your childhood. You only have to be not the worst."
So the judges go to Sura, and she's having trouble. She's not having trouble yet. No. Paul's like, "Yesterday wasn't your best day, Sura." And she's like, "I know it was horrific, but today I'm optimistic. You can tell by my face." "Are you about to be shot?" "No, is that what my face looks like?" "Looks like you're about to be shot." "Okay, now how is it?" Looks like you're about to be set on fire, actually.
Oh, darn it. I'm trying to smile.
You know, white chocolate's very temperamental. It's like the worst chocolate to work with. I call it husband chocolate, actually.
So she's also doing something for her parents' 36th wedding anniversary. These people are really nice to their parents.
They love their parents and they love old authors.
Yeah. If I was going to make a cake for my parents, I would make it out of cigarettes and golf balls.
So she's doing some sort of strawberry, strawberry white chocolate celebration cake. And she's like, I'm going to water down the white chocolate. It's going to have a little bit of a looser texture. And, you know, ideally it'll just be a puddle of batter when I serve it.
Yeah, Paul's like, watered down chocolate. Really stupid. It's like, yes, it'll be wonderful, right? Am I smiling? Peter...
Yeah, Peter is, I'm going to add chunks of white chocolate, so that way there'll be less gluten and more white chocolate, and I really like it when you come across that hunk of white chocolate in a cake.
It's never done. I'm like, yeah, because no one wants to eat a hunk of white chocolate, dude. What are you doing?
It's going to be mango curd with coconut yogurt and white chocolate, with figs on top and figs in the bottom, and a string of cinnamon, and also maybe some old leather. And most people don't eat leather, but I thought, wouldn't it be fun if we put leather into the actual cake?
He's like, it's going to be a graduation cake for my brother. That's right, stupid. You just hear his brother from back in the hotel behind them.
Do you want a granola bar or not? Make me a graduation cake.
I'm just going to just perpetuate a narrative that, like, Andrew has a stash of granola bars and Peter can only have a granola bar if he does what Andrew tells him to do.
I like that Andrew's controlling him with granola bars. That works for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I imagine them as, well, I wanted to say the movie, but it's a spoiler, but there's this horror movie where it's these twin brothers and one of them is terrorizing the mom. Like, the mom just had a facelift and has to stay at home, and one of them's terrorizing her, and they end up just making her crazy and killing her. And then one of them turns out to be the imagination the whole time. It's like, it was always Peter. It was always Peter.
So, I'm just imagining that's Macaulay Culkin and Elijah Wood, and that, like, Andrew just drops bowling balls on highways. Wow. So, yeah, he does. So, Hermine is making a lemon and white chocolate cake for her parents' wedding. I think that sounds lovely. And I didn't write anything else about that.
This is the point in the show where I'm like, why am I still writing notes? I've been taking notes for 10 hours now.
I'm like, it's been 90 minutes. Old Mark is making white chocolate with raspberry buttercream. I'm dedicating it to my daughters, who basically are going to bake this entire thing. Look, she's holding a tiny candle. That counts.
And Linda is doing one for her daughter. She's doing a tribute to her daughter who passed away. She was a special needs girl, and she passed away. And she's like, she was a sweet English rose, and I'm going to make a sweet English rose cake, which is cute. And she's doing amaretto cake with raspberry jam and mascarpone.
Yeah, and this is so British, because this is the second time that Linda has made a tribute cake to for like a family member who has passed. And again, if it was an American show, the music would be really sad and they would like basically hold the camera on her until she cried. But since it's British, she's like, this is for my daughter who's no longer with us. Anyway, here's some mascarpone. It's like, wow, it's like stiff upper lip is real.
Yeah, it really is. So oven time. And so now they have to start making their fillings for their cake. And Mark with a K always does the craziest shit. He's like, well, it's my wife's birthday, so I'm making marula fruit, pistachio, lemon, South African marula liqueur. I'm like, oh, jeez.
I discovered it one day when I was walking my dog, or more like my dog was walking me, and dragged me into the West London, and I found it in a shop once my dog stopped pulling me along.
He's like, actually, elephants get drunk on marula. I quite like it. Which is funny. That's a funny true story that elephants just get wasted. They deserve it. They've got quite a load to carry, those guys.
Are you saying that I'm an elephant? It's about time someone said that about you, Paul.
Paul's just walking around eating marula off trees.
So because white chocolate has a lot of sugar in it. It causes the sponges to turn brown faster, and so it could deceive bakers, which for some reason I love it when that happens on this show, because they always set it up like, because of the high sugar content in white chocolate, bakers could be deceived into thinking that their sponges are done. And then it always gets to someone being like, oh, look, my sponge is done. I'm like, you idiot. You were deceived by the white chocolate.
You see, white chocolate is evil. I'm telling you. White chocolate has no place in this world. No civilized country should, or civilization, no civilized civilization should have white chocolate allowed, okay? Outlaw it.
Peter is listening to his sponge. He's like, I'm listening for bubbles. Okay, let me listen. It says, bubble, 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 no granola bar until you put an equation on my side. Wait a second, is that you, Andrew? His brother's just at the side of the tent. You just hear a whispering. Crunch. Eating the granola bar slowly, like David the door.
So then they go over to Dave. And he's like, well, I'm making a straw splash Fraser cake, Ixico. I just wanted to get Mexico in there somewhere. It's actually a Fraser cake. If Fraser was on in Mexico, how about them tossed salads and scrambled huevos? O sea, un más tempo.
I just want to let everyone in the cake in the tent know that if you're having any problems, feel free to ask my cake. It is a Fraser cake, and it is licensed to give advice. Oh, good, because my cake is feeling very emotionally raw. Do you mind if it calls into your cake?
Sorry, that's not for poor people.
Oh. So Dave, sorry for the
barking. I think my Amazon's here.
Oh, exciting!
Look at me. Be quiet. Stop. That's very helpful. Shut up. Shut up down there. I'm going to murder you. Shut your face. I'm going to kill you and your whole family. It worked.
It worked. It's very emotionally raw. So,
now he's just growling. He's going, grr. I can't get in trouble if I just go, grr.
Dave is doing something with balloons. He's going to make balloons, or he's going to like put chocolate on the balloons, do that whole thing. So, That's something
he's making
that
he's
doing.
Making shapes. All right. Chalk splashes. And he's going to do one for each baker. And Noel's like, yes. And then you can bust them one by one as you rise through the ranks.
Are you going to do a balloon for Rowan? Because he was barely a baker.
No. So then Lottie is like, well, not much chat. Not as much fun as I thought then. And then Matt goes to Laura, and he's like, he tries to do his American announcer thing and just annoys the hell out of her.
Yeah, and Laura's like, well, my spongy's done. I am completed. And oh, false alarm. You just got white chocolated. It's almost as bad as getting prude.
Yep, you just got white chocolated. So now they're stacking their cakes, but the weather is so hot, and they have to put things in the fridge because everything's melting, and a lot of the fondant was not working, and they're trying to decorate. So everybody decides, you know what, fuck it, let's just do drips.
Yep, let's just do drips. Yeah, Dave was trying to do his balloon thing, and his hands were shaking, so he was like, his hands were shaking, both of them. He just actually popped his own balloon. And, they're just, things are melting, things are dripping, but Dave is very happy. He's like, well, it couldn't have gone any better for me, I think. The only way that this could have been better is if I were in Mexico, the greatest country outside of Great Britain.
Have a margarita with this one. So, time's up. Lottie's looks crazy. Sarah's freaking out or completely happy. I don't know, just reading her face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the judges come in. There are a lot of leaners in these cakes.
A lot of lopsided tray bakes, if you know what I'm saying. So the first is young Mark. Mark with a K.
Yeah, Mark with a K.
Prue's like, well, I love the way it looks. It's very original and modern, and it almost has the look of the sort of thing an elephant would walk into a bar and ask for.
White chocolate with pistachio and marula liqueur, lemon meringue, and she loves it, and Paul's like, needs more of a hero flavor.
The pistachio's not strong enough, but maybe that's just the booze talking. Am I right? I'm someone else feeling a little bit drunk at the moment.
This is a Tina Turner cake, because guess what? She does need another hero in the flavor department.
Two flavors enter, one flavor leaves, if you know what I'm saying.
So then Lottie's Nana and Papa Sapphire Cake. And Paul's like, love it. Very, very cool. Oh, yes, it's imaginative, exciting, beautiful, gorgeous, sexy. Don't be going to make out with this cake.
Prue, relax yourself. Textures aren't there. It's overbaked. Bone dry inside. Yes, that's exactly what I was going for. Something that matches how I felt after my pick for Eurovision failed to win.
So then Sora, her strawberry and white chocolate celebration, and it's leaning, and Sora is just horrified, and they're just staring at the cake, and it's raw. And
it's full on raw.
I know.
And Paul, it's raw, and it's like terrible. And then Paul, of course, is like, could have been the white chocolate mixed with the water. Been waiting to say that for the past 4 hours. I knew this would happen to you, you stupid idiot.
Yep. So then Dave's strawberry splash. And Prue's like, looks wonderful, sounds like a gay event. And Paul's like, the sponge color worries me. And it's not overbaked, and it tastes good. And Paul didn't like the color, but it's decent.
I love it. Now tell me, is there another cake that's a little bit older than this one that sits in an ugly chair? No?
Then Linda and her English rose cake, and they don't like her piping, her straws. Paul's like, the issue is the decoration. The piping isn't good at any level.
And why is there a mackerel on top of this thing?
And then Mark, one of the Marks, has a raspberry buttercream. Which one was that?
This was old Mark. This is Mark with a C.
Okay.
I think. Yeah. We already did Mark, young Mark.
So then they like his, then Pete's graduation cake. Now, he made, at least he had like a fondant wrapping or like a, was it white chocolate fondant?
It's something that he did. I don't know.
But it was too high for the cake, unfortunately. Yeah. And there's a mango curd cream in the center.
Yeah. And Prue's like, ooh, this chocolate chunk is like toffee. It's gluing my teeth together. And he's like, well, thank you for all love. That's all. No, that's not a compliment, you stupid tray bake.
Paul's like, well, it was very neat. Well done. And I love to see Prue's gums come out. So nice job.
So Hermine's is up, and hers is like very messy at the bottom. But Prue is like, oh, that's delicious. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
It's a messy bottom, like Noel. Quite lovely. Very well done.
And Matt's like, I believe that's a Prugasm that you just saw.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, she does like a body jolt.
Yeah.
Oh, so then Laura made chocolate heaven. And Paul's like, you know, Laura, sometimes less is more.
Now, I don't know why you added a pizza-flavored ribbon to the top of this white chocolate cake, but it's too much.
I don't think the Queen of England hat needed pepperoni on it.
I don't think we needed an ode to Princess Di made out of anchovies in the back, but we all have our own choices.
So he says it's dried out and slightly overbaked, but the black currant works beautifully. And Laura's like, well, I'm a tiny bit disappointed. I wanted to nail it, but, you know, I mean, it did say a lot of thought went into it, and I do love pizza, so that's neither here nor there, but just wanted to get that out there.
And Hermine is happy because she got a Prue roll, even though it's a Prugasm. I'm on board with Prugasm. Prugasm, not Prue roll. And Sura, she's like, well, it went horrific, like my entire marriage, to be honestly. I can't believe the cake was pretty much raw on the inside. I just didn't know what else to say.
So the judges talk, and they think that Mark was really good, Mark with the K. And Peter, you know, Paul just loves Peter. He's like, oh, it's a young me. Look at him.
Yeah.
So thin, full of promise.
Beholden to his brother. Is this just the elephant booze talking? Or is this me? So
I would get rid of him, but I don't want to be killed by that granola ghost who's lurking around here.
So, yeah, Prue loved Mark's cake, and Sura and Lottie are in trouble. So now it's time for the results. So this week's Star Baker is a man who gets dragged around London by his dog and sits at a tiny desk and serves elephant booze to Paul.
Unfortunately, your trophy isn't a chair that fits. And that's Mark with a K.
And now going home, someone who we are all really fond of but had a bad week. And that person is Sura.
Aww. I'm not going to be bitter. I'm going to murder my husband.
I hate white chocolate. I hate chocolate. I don't think I'll ever eat chocolate again. That was actually my wedding vow.
Oh, I was rooting for her.
I know. I thought she was so good, and I thought that she was going to actually go far, but she really was not in sync. It's kind of funny. And Paul's like, well, you know, the thing with this show is that it exposes your weakness as a baker. And Sura's weakness really saved Lottie over there. Look at her crying into the mirror and singing songs from the Smiths.
Paul's like, pick it up for the next one, Lottie. Might I suggest some more eyeliner? She's like, I'll try.
Why are you putting cheesecake topping on your head? Because that's where I'm at in my life.
Oh, gosh. And that brings us to the end of the Great British Baking Show.
Well, that was fun. Well, we'll have to see what's on the docket for next week. But yeah, Sura was one of my favorites. So I don't know who I'm going to root for now. I do really love Lottie. Lottie and Hermine. So guess we'll have to see what happens.
Linda, all the way.
Oh, Linda, of course. Linda. Duh.
All the way.
Linda, yeah. I co-sign Linda.
Linda is a winda.
Yeah, I worry that Linda may not have the legs to go all the way, but we'll see.
How dare you. All right, everybody. Well, thanks so much for being with us today. Come back, because we're going to be here all week doing as we do. Also, we are going to cover another Netflix show this week. On Friday, we are going to tackle the new show, Dream Home Makeover, on Netflix. Because we have one more Friday off before we are back to being full-time with regular recaps. So we're going to check out that show. So watch it. If you feel like listening to another Netflix recap, check it out.
Yeah. And tomorrow we have Real Housewives of Orange County. So should be interesting.
Yep.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. And Bye. Check out Dwell Hello, too. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan lettuce.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D. There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
Shannon better than Kyle Richards.
The Bay Area Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, cease and desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Erica, 500 days of summers.
We will. Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
The Wyndham beneath our wings, it's Joe Wyndham.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Lordess, the Lordess of the Rings.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.